Columbia brings you Arthur Godfrey Time. And now here he is, Arthur Godfrey.
Thank you, Dan McDonald. Thank you. Hello. I suppose I ought to be very excited here and all full enthusiasm about this because I'm doing this show to the whole network this morning. You know, this is the same show we've been doing for years, 17 years in the early morning to Washington and New York. And today we start doing the thing to the entire network, see, to let you all in on this corn. Well, you had a tough year. You've been going to school every morning at this time, haven't you? 9:15, you da-da-da-da, comes some bugle here, 9:15, and you had school, see? Well, now school is out. The school is all out, and we're going to have a summer vacation. I have a hunch that this may be a little tougher on you before the summer is over. But it's strictly a sustaining thing, you know, this. There's no commercials in this show, which is why, really, I just can't whip up too much enthusiasm. I don't know if you folks know how it goes in radio, see, but you walk around the radio row here and you bump into your fellow workers all day and they say, hey, you got a new show on the network. Yes, it starts Monday. Who's the sponsor? Well, your face kind of drops a little, you know, and you cast your eyes down. You say, sustainings. So right away they say, oh, I see. They're very kind now, see. They're very kind. And they move over to the other tables down in Colby's. They won't sit with you at all, you see. So, and I don't know why. Why they feel like that, I don't know. You know, it's a funny thing. Now, this is liable to go commercial anytime. Oh, yeah, we'll hook a sucker for this, you know. They'll come along. See, now, we're all working here for scale, you know. We're all strictly scale here, and we'll go along for a while, and then along comes the high-pressure guys, and they'll go get a sucker somewhere, and immediately we'll go way up in the income brackets, you know, and make those fabulous salaries I hear about. And, you know, like Sinatra and Crosby and all those guys, they do the same thing we do, only they get paid, see? And then what happens? What happens after that? I don't know what it's all about and why they feel so good, because what happens then is simply the first guy standing in line, see? When Sinatra gets that check, you know, the first guy behind him is Henry Morgenthau, see? And when Henry gets through with him, and Frank and I sit down at poker games on Saturday night, we start even, Stephen. We each got $9. So why all this talk about commercials? It's a part of the show you always tune out every hour, anyhow, don't you? Huh? You say you do. Every time the poor guy comes on, Dan McDonald comes up with a terrific commercial, what happens? You tune it out. So what's the use of putting them on? We wind up with the same dough anyhow. Well, now, look, for years and years, I've been doing this kind of a thing every morning with records, see? This morning on the network, we can't have records. You know, there's policy. Can't play records. So we have live talent. And I'm sitting in a little room here looking out at my talent, and they show signs of life. They're all right. Quite so. Now, we've got four lovely little girls here with Bobby Tucker. I don't have to tell you about these folks. You've heard them for years and years on the radio. Bobby Tucker and his symphonettes. And I think it would be very nice if you folks would gather around that mic just as if it were a commercial program and do Candy. With the vibraphone on the end there. Who did that? Oh, it was the organ. Oh, Hank. Oh, we got the best bunch of guys around here. I got them strictly from, straight from Lou Shuby. Did you ever hear of Shuby? Oh, these are Shuby's boys. Oh, they're wonderful. You see, years ago, I did a thing like this, long, long years ago, 1934, I think it was. And we did it, I think, from this very studio, too. See, that's one nice thing about radio. You progress. Here we are, right back where we started again. See? 34, they thought they might like to do the same thing, see. But, and Lou Shuby's was in the band, and he made with the bass. Now we got Cy out there. Cy is with the bass now. But Lou Shuby did the bass fiddle in those days. And it was Mark Warno's band. Mark Warno was the house leader. And Jerry Colonna played the trombone. And Bunny Berrigan did the trumpet. Lou Shuby was with a bass fiddle. And I got the same violinist now that I had then. Buddy Shepard, he sits over there with a schmaltz fiddle. Oh, he makes such a schmaltz with a fiddle you never heard. Also, such comments to the leader. I hope he makes some for you, because they're out of this world. And Hank Silverne is sitting at the organ to do this thing for me and lead the boys. See, I don't know all of them yet. The guitar player's name is, what is it? Remo. Remo, the guitar player. Sounds like some kind of a cigar, doesn't it? But he's no kin at all. He makes with a guitar, but beautifully. And who is the piano player? Flato? Yeah. Don't we have Pliny and Cicero around or any... Ace. Ace. He is there, too. Oh, it's wonderful. I was so glad to get these boys. You see, I'm very close to the vice president and general manager of Columbia. You see, I used to... In the old days, and I was shipmates with a guy whose drinking uncle used to go with the daughter of the cook of a great friend of the general manager and vice president of Columbia. I'm very close to him. And I reminded him of that one day, and immediately he says, well, we just got to make this thing network and keep it in the family. So the only thing was, you see, 10 years ago when we used to do this, they were a little bit afraid of me because I'm one of those ad-lib guys, you know? You know what an ad-lib guy, what ad-lib means. That's Latin for running off at the mouth, you know? And Hank, I will raise your salary if you laugh just a little louder in this. That's a boy. That's fine. That's good. Now look, what is it you boys have in there? Have you got something? Maybe we will hear you better if we put Marshall Young on. You see, when we were picking the talent for this show, we listened to records of 19,000 singers, both male and female. And we came up with this boy here. His name is Marshall Young. And, well, I'm not going to say anything about him at all until you hear him. You see what I mean, don't you? Huh? Marshall, that was wonderful, my boy. Thank you, thank you. Hank, that accompaniment there, that's fine. That's very good. You all hit the right notes. Gee, that's grand. Now, this is the time, if this were a commercial program, where you would hear a terrific plug. But, and because, see, we're sustaining, therefore no plug, but there's no reason why those stations outside there can't go ahead and make a buck, so we'll play a little music. Come on.
Introduce to you some of the little Godfreys to entertain. We have a very lovely little gal from Pine Bluff out in Arkansas. I'm going to ask to open the show for us, doing a number with the Mariners, a tune that they recorded for Columbia, one of Jeanette Davis's biggest records, I Didn't Know the Gun Was Loaded.
Effie was her name, through the West she won her fame, seeing handy with a gun, but she drove her men insane. Oh, she whipped out a pistol and shoot most any guy, to sing out this alibi.
I didn't know the gun was loaded, and I'm so sorry, my friend. I didn't know the gun was loaded, and I'll never, never do it again.
Now one night she had a date with a wrestling heavyweight, and he tried a brand new hole she did not appreciate.
So she whopped out her pistol and shot him in the knee.
Then quickly she sang this lee.
I didn't know the gun was loaded, and I'm so sorry, my friend. I did not know the gun was loaded, and I'll never, never do it again. A soon a millionaire in town started taking me around. I was happy till he said that the social life is wet. So I whooped out my pistol and shot him in the side. Then fell to my knees and cried. I didn't know the gun was loaded. And I'm so sorry, my friend. I didn't know the gun was loaded.
But one night he made a slip, shot the sheriff in the hip. So the lawyer took a hand and made Effie take the stand, and she fled.
Oh, Your Honor, I know you're crazy. When you hear my one excuse, I didn't know the gun was loaded. And I'm so sorry, my friend. I didn't know the gun was loaded. And I'll never, never do it again.
Yet the jury all agreed that Miss Effie should be free.
But the sheriff's jealous wife was indignant, yes, indeed. So she bottled a pistol and shot it till it fell.
And sang as Miss Effie fell.
I didn't know the gun was loaded. And I'm so
oh, that's a Lulu, that one is. You know, every time she sings that song, she has to have a week off to get over it. She's going to do another recording very shortly for Columbia entitled Get the Toupee Paste, Bessie. Mama says Papa is blowing his top. Now, I have a young feller here who is quite a sensation in the country, this lad. He's a boy only 22, been with us now almost a year, and in that time has climbed up from just a little fellow that was on the Talent Scout show with us a year ago to one of the fastest, most popular young singers in the business. Bill Lawrence singing It's Wonderful.
Wonderful. Marvelous. You should care. What I love to see, you've made my life so glamorous. You can't blame me for feeling I'm so wonderful, marvelous that you should care for me. Wonderful. It's really marvelous. You should care for only me. Awful, awful nice. Just like paradise. That's what I love to see. My dear, it's four-leaf clover time. Now my heart's working all the time. Oh, it's wonderful, marvelous. I'm telling you, it thrills me through that you should care for me.
Thank you, Bill. And as the cow said when she stepped out of the milking stall, that's enough out of me. See you later.
Your Army and your Air Force have presented Arthur Godfrey transcribing with all the little Godfreys. Jeanette Davis, Bill Lawrence, the Mariners, and R.T. Blyer and his orchestra. Voice of the Army wishes to thank Arthur Godfrey for his services on this program, which was presented in cooperation with this radio station and directed by Charles Wilkes. This is Tony Marvin speaking. And now, here's that man himself, Arthur Solid Pack Godfrey.
Solid Pack. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Are you gentlemen, you ladies and gentlemen, familiar with the works of a writer named Al Hoffman? Al Hoffman? Oh, sure you do. He's pretty good. He wrote such numbers as Heartaches, Little Man, You've Had a Busy Day, There's No Tomorrow, Bake a Cake, It Takes Two to Tango. Al Hoffman is complaining. He has written several other songs, and nobody seems to want to publish them. I don't see why either. They have the most beautiful titles. Listen, Somebody Loves Me, I Wonder Why. Darling, You're So Far Apart. What is life without a stranger when you haven't got a friend? I may be wrong, but I'm not far from it. Everyone has somebody to love, and all I have is you. Yeah, I know how it is, too. I have some beautiful songs I wrote. I can't get them published either. When I'm with you, I'm lonesome. When the tide went out, I found you. I can't tell you what I've been through, dear. They tell me it was a swinging door. I got some beautiful... I can't get the doggone thing published. And now I want you to meet a young man named Julius La Rose. It pleases me mightily whenever I see the reception that you give these kids, and especially Julius here. Except for the McGuire sisters and Lou Ann, who came after him. Julius is our youngest member, didn't he? Yeah. How long ago did you come?
It was November 13th. No, November 17th, 1951. Be 2 years next month.
Not quite 2 years.
Yes, sir.
2 years ago, and it was about 3 years ago then when I first met you.
October 4th, 1950.
When I first met Julie, I'll never forget when he first came up here and I said to him, I told him when he came up and did a couple of guest appearances with us, if you remember, he was in uniform. And I said, well, when you get out of that man's Navy, if you don't want to stay in for 30 years, come on up here and I'll give you a job. And he took me at my word. And he came and I put him to work. And immediately everybody loved him. And it always has done my heart good to see that you people saw the same quality in him that I saw. Which, if you have noticed, and I'm sure you have, is the same quality that I have in everybody in my cast. I picked them all that way. Sure, he's got a good voice, but lots of people have good voices. There's something else that you like, which is a wonderful quality that it's hard to get. So, I'll never forget when he first came here and went to work steadily, he said to me, gee, you know how he used to do, gee. I don't know, with all those stars on the show. And I said to him, Julie, you don't know it, but I don't have any stars in my show. In my show, we're all just a nice big family of very nice people, like yourself. And you hold on to that quality and you'll never have to worry about a thing. You're just as big as anybody else. You just go on, try to improve yourself all the time, and one day you'll be the big stuff, see? And this boy in 2 years' time has done this. In 2 years' time, he and Archie have their own recording company now. And he's gotten to be a great big name. And I would like Julie, if he would, to sing me that song called Manhattan. Have you got that? Huh?
Yes, sir.
Sing me that.
Summer journeys to Niagara and to other places aggravate all our cares. We'll save our fare. I've a cozy little flat in what is known as Old Manhattan. We'll settle down right here in town. We'll have Manhattan, the Bronx, and Staten Island, too. It's lovely going through the zoo. It's very fancy on old Delancey Street, you know. The subway charms us so when balmy breezes blow to and fro. And tell me what street compares with Mott Street in July. Sweet push carts gently gliding by. The great big city's a wondrous toy, just made for a girl and boy. We'll turn Manhattan into an Isle of Joy. We'll go to Yonkers, where true love conquers in the wild, and starve together, dear, in the city's clamor can never spoil the dreams of a boy and his goyle. We'll turn Manhattan into an Isle of Joy.
Thanks ever so much, Julie. That was Julie's swan song with us. He goes now out on his own as his own star, soon to be seen in his own programs. And I know you wish him Godspeed, same as I do. This is the CBS Radio Network.